we're in the middle of Likutei Moran, and we had Tanna Torah Pei Zion in Likutei Moran Tanina, where Rabbeinu Zal discussed and made reference to the Soid Kavona Selol, and that learning that item is a tikkun for Pigam HaBris, and it helps a person in a tremendous way to be able to find their right zivug, and to see to it that their zivug should be favorable towards them, that their zivug should be willing to go along with them in supporting them in whatever ways they should be supported. So as a result of learning that Torah, we spent last year, the previous year, learning the Soid Kavona Selol inside, as Rabbeinu Zal presents it, in Torah Vov and Likutei Moran. This shir is actually a continuation of that previous shir. We're picking up from where we left off. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 16, way back in the beginning. Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, it's the left-hand column, and it's the first paragraph that begins in that column, Va'al Pi Soid. Previously, Rabbeinu Zal had quoted a piece from the Kisvei Arizal, where the Arizal discussed special kavonas related to Elul, about two different names of Hashem, the Shem Kuf Samach Aleph and the Shem Sog. And Rabbeinu Zal showed how those two, quoting from the Arizal again, that those two names have a total gematria of the word Derech, and how Derech was also two times Hashem's name Yapoik, which is a combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elokim, and how these two names of Hashem, the Shem Sog and the Shem Kuf Samach Aleph, which are actually different forms of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei and Ekye. We had mentioned last week that Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, when written B'Milui, spelled out where the Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalid, the Hey is spelled Hey Yud, the Vav is spelled Vav Aleph Vav, and the Hey is spelled Hey Yud. That name of Hashem has a gematria of 63. Hashem's name Ekye, similarly, the Aleph spelled Aleph Lamed Pei, the Hey spelled Hey Yud, the Yud spelled Yud Vav Dalid, and the Hey spelled Hey Yud has a gematria of 161, Kuf Samach Aleph. And we said that the Arizal told Reb Chaim Vitalzal when he's mechaven these names to picture the name Kuf Samach Aleph with segoils underneath each one of the 10 letters, and the Shem Sog with chiriks under each one of the 10 letters. And the Arizal said that the segoil of Kese and the chirik of Sog are bigimatria the word pshuta, ki emincha pshuta lekabel tshuvasam, that the word pshuta outstretch, referring to Hashem's hand open to receive back those who want to do tshuva, the word pshuta is bigimatria 400. And we said in the Nekudos, a chirik has a value of 10. A chirik is like a yud. A segoil is like 3 yuds. So a segoil has a value of 30. 10 segoils plus 10 chiriks is bigimatria 400, this word pshuta. Now we also said that the word yemin Hashem pshuta, that the word yemin was also bigimatria derech. Again, the word yemin spelled b'milui, yud vav dalid, mem mem, yud vav dalid, and nun vav nun. That the word yemin with the kolel was bigimatria the word derech with the osius. This is all that we had discussed in the last shir, quoting from the Arizal, and we started to explain how this tied into what Rabbeinu Zal said. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to summarize and sort of continue from where we left off. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Val pi soid ne'elam bozeh soid kavona selul hanal, and in a hidden way, there is hidden within Rabbeinu Zal's words that he explained, there is hidden the words of the Arizal that are explained earlier. Ki boki, Rabbeinu Zal in this Torah had discussed the fact that a yid has to have two types of bekius, two types of broad knowledge. A yid has to be very, very knowledgeable in knowing with how to deal with an aliyah, with a high, an up. When a person feels themselves being successful in frumkeit or begashmius in any way, there are thousands of assorted tests that the sotan could give the person along that track, along of the line of being successful. For example, the Torah gives a warning, shomanto avisa, that a yid gets fat and full with success, And then Ovisa, he kicks away at Hashem. We know that there are many cases where a person's victory, a person's success, caused them to reject Hashem. We have the story of Bar Kochba, one of the most successful generals in Klal Yisrael, up until a certain point where the success got to him. He started feeling so successful that the success put a gaiva into his mind, where at one point when he was going out to war, he made a comment as if to say, Hashem, this is a small battle, this one we can handle ourselves without your help. And the minute he said, why did he say this? From a feeling of confidence that he had developed as a result of being so successful. That ended up causing his death. It was during that battle that a snake bit him and he died, and that was the downfall of the whole Bar Kochva reign at that time. And we have many, many other cases throughout the Torah of a person who became wealthy, and a result of their wealth and success, that caused them at one point to become so arrogant and bloated that they rejected Hashem. So this is a concept of having of a bikias that's required, a broad knowledge that's required in how to deal with coming close to Hashem during a time of Aliyah. How to use the success and the victory towards bringing you closer to Hashem rather than chas v'shalom being a cause of pushing one away from Hashem. Then there's a second bikias that's required, Rabbi Nazal said. When a person is feeling down and rejected, and a person feels like a failure, be it in business, be it in religion, be it in whatever matters of life, then surely we know that that person is a very appetizing victim for the Satan. The Yetzer Hara preys on people when they're in that frame of mind. When a person is feeling down and unsuccessful and unvictorious, during that time, the Satan preys on a person and could push a person lower and lower, or could cause a person to use their lack of success as an excuse not to want to come close to Hashem. Here also, Rabbi Nazar said, there's a tremendous bikias, a broad knowledge that's required to deal with the whole spectrum of tests that the Satan will present a person with during the time that they're down. And Rabbi Nazar referred to these two broad knowledges as an inyan of boki. A person has to be a boki ba'aliyah, boki b'yirida, boki b'rotzui, boki b'shoyi. So Rabbi Nazar says, ki boki hu bechinas shem yaboi kanal. The word boki is the same letters as the name of Hashem Yaboi, yud beis kuf, that the Arizal discussed. Shehu oisi ois boki. The word yaboi is the same letters as the word boki. This yid that is zoicha to have these two types of knowledge, which correspond to two times boki, which means boki barotzui, boki in going up, and boki b'shoiv, boki in coming down. Rabbi Nazal explained that then and only then could a person be zeicha to walk on the path of tshuva. Because when a person wants to do tshuva, a person has to know that they're definitely the path of tshuva is not a straight one. It's a path that involves ups and downs, hills and valleys. And unless you know how to travel, how to climb a mountain, or how to go down a valley without killing yourself in the process in either direction, it's possible, chas v'shalom, for a person to fail in their tshuva. Success in tshuva is dependent upon knowing how to deal with these hills and valleys, these ups and downs. Ki beis pomim boki ishu beis pomim yaboi kanal oile bigimatria derech kanal. Because two times boki, which is the same thing as the Arizal referred to as two times yaboi, is bigimatria derech. Ki alpi hakavonois nasezah derech mebchinas segel de kesev chirik de sub. According to what the Arizal had written, this derech is created, is formed through these two names of Hashem, Kuf Samach Aleph and Samach Gimel. And the name Kuf Samach Aleph specifically with Segoils underneath it, and the name Sog with Chirix underneath it. Shehem Begimatria Beis Pamim Yaboi Kanal. That's all. This Kuf Samach Aleph, which is 161, and Sog, which is 63, those two also, when you add them together, are also Begimatria Derech, 224. So we have twice Yaboik, which is 224, and we have Kuf Samach Aleph and Samach Gimel, which is also 224. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains what this Kuf Samach Aleph represents and what the Samach Gimel represents. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki bo ki barotzui, because this concept of being knowledgeable and how to rise, how to deal with an aliyah, shehu bechinas esak shomayim, this is the concept of climbing up, rising up to the heavens, as Dovid HaMelech said in the Sefer Tehillim, ze bechinas segoil de kese. This corresponds to the segoil of Kuf Samach Aleph that the Arizal discussed. Why? Ki esak oisiois kese. Because this pasuk that Rabbeinu Zal referred to in this chapter, when Rabbeinu Zal was discussing an aliyah, he quoted the pasuk im esak shomayim shomato, where Dovid HaMelech said, even if I find myself soaring up to the shomayims, I don't feel that I passed Hashem, that Hashem is below me. I always realize that however high I am, Hashem is right there above me. So that even when I'm in a state of aliyah success, I don't become too big for Hashem. The pasuk that Rabbeinu Zal quoted was this im esak shomayim shomato. Zebechinas segoil de keset. Right. And this word esak is the same letters as kuf samach aleph, this name of Hashem that the Arizal referred to. Ulboki b'shoiv, and the concept of knowing how to take a fall, shehu b'chinas vatsiya shoil hineko, which Rabbeinu Zal made reference to the second half of that pasuk in Tehillim, vatsiya shoil hineko, where Dovid HaMelech said, even if I find myself falling down to shoil, which is the seventh gehenim, way, way down on bottom, hineko. Again, you, Hashem, are right there with me. I don't feel that I've fallen out completely from the presence of Hashem, but rather I know that Hashem is even there with me in my yerida. I can still connect with Hashem and pull myself up and out. Zebechinas chirik desog. That, we said, corresponded to the chirik of the Shem Sog. Miloshoin al taseg gvul oilam. There's a pasuk in Mishlei where the pasuk says that a Jew should not fall back away from the boundaries of the world. There's a concept of falling out or falling back from where you're supposed to, retreating too far back. Shehu bechinas shemasig gevuloi. This is the concept of a person retreating from his boundary, falling back, umachziroi lachoyrov, and he gets pushed behind, backwards. Sheze bechinas yerida. This is a concept of yerida. Sheho odom noifel chas v'shalom imadregosoi v'hu nosoi gochar chas v'shalom. This refers to a person falling from whatever level he's on, and he falls backwards chas v'shalom. And Rabbeinu Zal had told us, afal pikein, even though this happens to a person, yechazek es atzmoi, the person should strengthen himself, and the person should not give up hope ever, because even there Hashem is to be found, even in your yerida, as is hinted to in this pasuk, that even if I find myself in the lowest place, hineko, you Hashem are there also. And this, we said, corresponds to the Shem Sog. Why? The question is, what's the connection with the Segoils and the Chirik? This is what Rabbeinu Zal is about to explain now. Because he had mentioned this earlier in the chapter. Rabbeinu Zal had said that the letter Aleph represents an Aliyah and a Yerida and the state of in-between, in a sense. Rabbeinu Zal had said that the top part of the Aleph represents the Nekudo HaElyona, the higher side, the up, and that top part of the Aleph corresponds to the Nekuda of Segoil. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Segoil represents the sun. The Zohar HaKadosh brings proof, and why? This is the fact that the Segoil corresponds to the Chamo, to the sun. On the other hand, the bottom part of the Aleph, the Nekuda HaTachtoina, corresponds to the Nekuda of Chirik, which corresponds to the moon. And Rabbeinu Zal in the chapter had quoted from the Zohar HaKadosh, which showed why the top part of the Aleph represents the sun, why the bottom part of the Aleph represents the moon, the top part of the Aleph represents Moshe Rabbeinu, the bottom part of the Aleph represents Yehoshua, the student, the Aliyah, the Yerida. This was all explained. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki segoil dochamo, because as we explained earlier, the segoil corresponds to the sun. Shehu nekudo ha'elyoina shal ha'aleph. That represents the top, the upper part of the aleph, hanechlekes l'sholosh tipin, which is divided into three dots. The segoil is three dots, and that corresponds to the form on top of the aleph. If you were to draw like three dots side by side, close to each other, that picture would be similar to the upper part of the aleph that connects to that diagonal vav, like in middle of the aleph. Shezeh bechinas esak shamayim, bechinas segoil dekese shehu oisies esak kanal. That's this upper part of the aleph. V'chirik hu bechinas nekuda tachtoine shel aleph. And Rabbeinu Zalat explained earlier in this Torah that the chirik represents the lower part of the aleph. Shehu bechinas v'atzia shoyl hineko. This concept that even when a person finds himself low, there also Hashem is to be found. Shehu bechinas chirik desog kanal. That corresponds to the chirik of this Shem Sog that the Arizal said to have in mind. And this is what Rabbeinu Zalat explained earlier. That when a person has mastered these two types of knowledge, then a person is going on the paths of tshuva. Two paths. Because if we take this word boki twice, boki means knowledgeable. Twice knowledgeable means two types of knowledge. What two types of knowledge? A knowledge of how to deal with the aliyah. And for the aliyah, Rabbein Azal quoted the posik im esak shomayim. So esak corresponded to that name of Hashem, kuf samach aleph. And a boki, birita, had to deal with the fall, that's another time boki, corresponding to this Shem Sog. Tasig gvul oila means to retreat, to know how to retreat, that when a person has to fall back sometimes in religion or in parnoso and whatever it is, he has to know how to do that the right way also. And Rabbeinu Zal had said that twice, the Arizal had said that twice yaboik equals derech, and kuf samach aleph and sog equals derech. Because these two are actually one and the same. Twice yaboik means twice boki. What are the two bekiases? Bekias knowing how to go up and how to go down. Going up is represented by this esak shamayim. Going down is represented by sog, this taseg gvul olam, this going down. Kese and sog equals derech, that's the darkei hatshuva. Boki and boki equals derech. It's being boki twice in kese and sog that gives you the darkei hatshuva, this path of tshuva. Because the main success in the path of tshuva, a person is zeicha to through this derech, va'oz, and once a person is zeicha to learn how to deal with these two paths, to know how to deal with an aliyah, to know how to deal with the yerida, va'oz yemin Hashem pshuto lekabel tshuvosai. Then he makes it that by Hashem, kaviyoch Hashem extends his right hand to welcome that person back in tshuva. Why that formula? Why is it that this formula gets Hashem to extend his right hand? Because we know that a person takes a move towards Hashem, Hashem takes a move towards that person. According to the Esarusa de Lesato, that's what determines the Esarusa de Leila. According to how much effort you put in, Hashem puts in a corresponding effort. If your effort is in this twice boki, in this kuf samach aleph and sog, which equals derech, then Hashem's corresponding effort is that Hashem will also put forth his derech. What is Hashem's derech? The word yamin is also bigimatria derech. The word yamin b'milua is also bigimatria derech. So Hashem extends kaviyochel his derech, his right hand, in accepting, welcoming this person's tshuva. Kiyamin bigimatria derech, shem bechinas beis pomim ya, shem beis pomim boki kanal. Upshuto bigimatria segoel de kesa vechirik de so. And the word pshuto, Hashem's right hand being outstretched, welcoming, the word pshuto is bigimatria, the segoels and the chiriks. These 40 dots, this total of 40 dots, which equals 400, is bigimatria, this word pshuta. Shehem ba'atzmon b'chinas nekudo hel yoino u'nekuda ha'tachtoino. These segoils and chiriks represent the upper nekuda and the lower nekuda. Shehem b'chinas ma shetzrichim levakesh Hashem Yisborach tomid hein lamalo hein lamato. This represents the concept of a person searching for Hashem and seeking out Hashem, whether the person is on an up or on a down. As is explained in this pasuk, this represents these two types of knowledge. And therefore, when a person has these two types of knowledge, then he walks on the paths of tshuva. And then Hashem's right hand is extended to welcome this person's tshuva. V'hovein hadvorim heitev. Rav Nosson Zal says, understand these words very, very well. Ki hem dvorim amukim ma'oid. Because this is very, very deep. This connection between Rabbeinu Zal's Musar explanation and the Arizal's Kabbalistic words is very, very deep. And based on our review here, you'll be able to know how to connect and weave together all the different thoughts that are presented in this whole chapter on Likud Imran from the beginning. This that Rabbeinu Zal wrote towards the end of the chapter regarding this upper and lower parts of the Aleph, that itself corresponds to these two types of bikiyas, knowing how to deal with an aliyah and knowing how to deal with the yerida. And he writes here in parentheses, ki ze einoy mavur beferish b'hatorah hanal, because in the chapter this connection wasn't made clearly to connect the upper and lower part of the aleph with this concept of Aliyah and Yerida. Rabbeinu Zal had connected the upper and lower part of the Aleph with the Segoil and the Chirik, and he connected it with Moshe and Yehoshua, and he connected it with a few other, with the sun and the moon. But he didn't connect that with what he discussed in the beginning of the chapter regarding a Jew experiencing ups and downs in religion. Rav Nosson Zal, in this paragraph, has woven together both concepts, the concept of a Yid going through Aliyahs and Yeridas, and how that ties, and the twice Boki, the Boki and Aliyah, Boki and Yerida, and how that corresponds to the upper part of the Aleph and lower part of the Aleph, the Segoil and the Chirik, and everything that they represent, the sun and the moon, and everything that they represent. V'zeh bi'atzmoi b'chinas tshuvo al tshuvo shekosav shom. Rav Nosson Zal says, this is also tied into the concept of tshuvo al tshuva, which Rabbeinu Zal discussed in the chapter also earlier, where he discussed the fact that a yid does an avera, he has to do tshuva. He has to say, I'm sorry I did this thing, and I hope never to do it again. The moment that a person says a sincere apology, that person rises. That person gets elevated. Tshuva elevates a person. At this new elevation that he's at now, he realizes that he recognizes Hashem's greatness to a greater degree than he understood it before. When he was on level 348, his understanding of Hashem's greatness was to a certain point. Now that he did tshuva, he apologized, and he rose to level 349. On level 349, he recognizes Hashem's greatness better than he did before, and he realizes that the I'm sorry that he said before was with a limited understanding. It wasn't with as great a respect for Hashem as he has now. So he realizes that he has to say a second I'm sorry for the first I'm sorry. He has to say I'm sorry now that when I said I'm sorry earlier, it was based on the comprehension that I had then, and now I've come to a higher hasaga, I realize that the I'm sorry that I said earlier was insufficient compared to what I understand now, compared to my grasp of the greatness of Hashem right now. So Rabbeinu Zal discussed this tshuva al tshuva. Ki zvichas hayetzahoro shubachinas doim l'Hashem, shubachinas tshuva rishayna, shubachinas kvoid olam hazeh. Because the concept of shechting one's yetzahoro which comes through being silent for the kavod of Hashem when a person is insulted or embarrassed, and he accepts it quietly without hitting back. That's the concept of this first tshuva. That's a concept of the honor of this world, all the lower level. That all corresponds to this lower part of the Aleph, this Nekuda HaTachtoina, which is created through a person being silent for Hashem. A person is embarrassed or insulted and has due reason to strike back, to lash out at the other person, and holds it back. That's what generates this Nekuda HaTachtoina, the Aleph. That all corresponds to the chirik of sog and the boki b'shoiv. Tshuva habeis, whereas the second tshuva, she'oise al tshuvosoi harishoina, where the person does tshuva on his first tshuva, shehu b'chinas kvoid olam haba, this second tshuva is a concept whereby a person is zeichet to the kvoid of olam haba, a high degree of kvoid, b'chinas kvoid alikim haster dover, a type of kvoid which people don't question in any way, a kvoid where people realize that that's hidden from them, it's way above them, ze b'chinas nekudo hel yoyna. This corresponds to the upper part of the Aleph, Bechinas Keser, the crown, Shehu Bechinas Moshe, which is a concept of Moshe Rabbeinu, Bechinas Segoil, corresponding to the Nakud of Segoil. Vohovein Hadvorim Heitev, Ech Kol Hadvorim Hanemorim Shom Batoranal, Nikshorim Venechlolam Acharkach Biyachad Bekesher Niflo Venoiro, Vahamaskilin Yovinu Ktsas. Rav Nosson Zal says, understand these words very, very well, how we connected all the different items that are discussed in this chapter on Likutei Moran. Now, reminder, we did not learn this whole chapter. We had selected pieces that were related to the Soid Kavanas Elul directly. But here, Rav Nosson Zal is summarizing the whole chapter and showing the correspondence, how everything in this chapter lines up on two levels, upper level, lower level. The Doim Lashem with the Nekuda Tachtoina, with the Kovay Doilam Hazeh, with Yehoshua, with the Levona, with the Chirik, all on one line. And the Kovay Doilam Haba, the Segoil, the Sun, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nekuda Elyona, all on the second line. Period.
Is the Arizal from here, or what part's the Arizal was Rabbeinu?
The part from the Arizal was just the part in the page 16, the right-hand paragraph, the upper half of the paragraph, like till the two dots. That section, that 25 lines or so, let's say, that was literally from the Arizal.
Rabbeinu was with the Aleph in that formula?
Exactly. Rabbeinu was the one who had discussed this whole topic of the two types of tshuva and the upper and lower part of the Aleph and all of that. And Rabbeinu afterwards showed them how in his whole discussion he had woven into it and he had based it upon this whole piece in the writings of the Arizal, which they didn't even realize. In other words, it's not obvious at all. When he was talking, he was using the words twice, Boki and this, Aliyah, Yerida, and they weren't able to see any connection with how this connects to the whole thing that the Arizal explained.
Which part is the line that connects the top and the bottom part of the Aleph come into play
The answer is we did not cover that. In our whole discussion so far, we didn't cover it. Rabbeinu Zal, within this chapter, in one of the pieces that we did not cover, discusses that middle part of the Aleph, what the connection is, how that refers to the bizyonos that a person gets, the shvichas damim, how that corresponds to the sky within which the sun and moon are both connected. And he gives a whole detailed explanation as to what that is. We didn't need that directly. No. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Segoil corresponds to the sun. What the exact relationship is, we're not going into. The Zohar HaKadosh says Segoil Dochamo. The Segoil is the sun. We had said that regarding the two parts of the Aleph, the top part and the bottom part, the top part corresponds to a concept of Elyon, Aliyah. The bottom part corresponds to Yerida. The top part corresponds to the sun. If the top part is the sun, the bottom part corresponds to the moon. with no light. The sun is full of light. The moon has no light at all whatsoever. Simply a reflection of the light of the sun. So therefore, we said that the segel corresponds to the upper part of the aleph, the chirik, which represents the moon. Rabbi Nizal quoted psukim to show the connection between the chirik and the moon. The chirik corresponds to the lower part of the aleph. Again, we didn't learn this whole Torah. Im Yitz Hashem will hear the shir on this whole Torah, you'll be able to understand better all the connections. We extracted from this Torah only those pieces that are directly connected to the Soid Kavona Selo. So like a triangular shape, in a sense. We'll just summarize now. We'll do the next two paragraphs, which are very easy, and in which Rav Nosson Zal explains, in simple terms, the main theme that Rabbeinu Zal is trying to come across in this chapter. Because don't forget, when we learned the Torah Pei Zayin, there Rabbeinu Zal had stressed that in terms of learning the Soid Kavona Selo, we're talking about learning it and learning how to apply it lemaisa to yourself. That if a Jew learns the advice that's taken out of this and is able to apply it, that represents executing this Soid Kavona Selo, which could help a person in Tikkun HaBris, and could also help a person to either find their rightful zivug, or to see to it that their zivug, their wife, should not be mitnagedet, should not be against them, but rather should be supportive of them in the right way. Rav Nosson Zal summarizes now and says, v'ikra dovor, the main thing to be derived from this Torah is, shal yidei sheho odom kishehu b'madrega tachtoina ma'oid, through the fact that a person, when he finds himself on the lowest level, ve'afal pikein humechazek atzmoi, and still the person strengthens himself, umamin shegam shom yeshloi tikvadayim, that even here there still is hope for me, even though I'm this far down, there still is hope for me, ki gam shom nimtza Hashem isborach, because even where I'm at now, Hashem is here with me, bebechinas v'atzia shoel hineko, as the pasuk says, v'atzia shoel, even if I find myself lowered into the shoel, hineko, you are there with me, Hashem, azai mamshich al atzmoi hakedusho mishem hakodesh havayo, b'milui sov. Then the person draws upon himself the holiness of Hashem that comes from this name of Hashem in particular, the Shem Havaya, in the form of Sog, as we explained earlier, Yud Ke Vav Ke, when it's spelled out Yud Vav Dalit, He Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, He Yud. That's the name of Hashem to which this person is connecting to and drawing from when he finds himself in this state of Yerida. He finds himself very far down, and he doesn't let himself fall out completely. He doesn't let himself give up hope, but he hangs in there. He's connecting to this name of Hashem, Shehu Mechaye Eskol HaNesoyim Ocher Mikdushosoy. That name of Hashem gives life to all of those that have fallen backwards, down from the Kiddush of Hashem, lahachzikom, to strengthen them, leval yiplu legamri chas v'shoam, so that the person should not fall out completely. Now note, Rabbeinu Zal use this precise wording, that this name of Hashem is mechaye. Where do we see the term mechaye applied? Mechaye? Hamesim. When a person feels dead already, when he's so far down that he feels like he's dead and he needs to be rejuvenated, brought back to life, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Mechaye HaMesim, who restores dead people back to life. The word Mechaye, the Arizal says, is Bigimatria Sog also. Mem Ches Yud Hei is Bigimatria Sog. It's this name of Hashem in particular that's Mechaye Mason, that when a person is feeling down, Vatzia Shoel Hineko, he feels dead, this name of Hashem is, if he doesn't give up hope, and he says, I believe Bemuna Shlema that Hashem is here also, and no matter, and as far down as I am, I can reach out to Hashem and cry out to Hashem and beg Hashem to sustain me and to help me climb back up, the person is connecting automatically to this name of Hashem, this Shem Sog, which is Mechaye Mesim, which sustains people during a time of Yerida. V'zeh b'chinas boki b'shoiv. This is the concept of being a boki, being knowledgeable in how to deal with this retreat, with this fallen state. Shezeh habekiyas hu b'chinas Shem Yaboi kakodosh this name of Hashem, this Bikias, corresponds to the Shem Yablik, Bechinas Shem Sog, and also corresponds to the Shem Sog. V'chein, and so too, Kishe Odom Zoicha Lovoi La'eza Madrega B'kdusha Al-Yayna, when a person finds themselves rising and climbing up and being successful, climbing to a high level of Kedusha, Va'afal Pikein, Einoi Oimed Shom, and still, the person does not allow themselves to stand still, to remain there. The person forces himself to climb higher. There's a Yetzirah that says to a person, wow, I finished this Gemara, I'm so happy, I'm so excited, and he remains with his happiness and excitement. And if a person opts not to be happy enough, I'm not happy enough, I'm not satisfied enough to stop here, but immediately I start the next Gemara and I'm running to do more and more. I want to add another mitzvah. I just gave tzedakah. I was just going to give a donation to tzedakah. The second I give the money, right away I'm thinking, I hope Hashem will give me more money so I'll be able to give more tzedakah. Immediately a person keeps jumping higher and higher. Then, azay mamshich hakedusha al atzmoi mishem hakodosh ekya b'miloi kesa. Then, the person should know that with that attitude, he's drawing upon himself the holiness of Hashem that's coming from this name of Hashem, the name of Hashem ekya, which means I will be, implying that I don't feel like I am already, I don't feel like I am, I feel like I'm in a state of wanting to be. I don't feel that I've gotten anywhere, I feel like I want to get somewhere. That concept. Ekya, in the miloy of Kuf Samach Aleph. Ki ho'od, now Rav Nosson Zal says, ki ho'odom kifi tnuaysov u'kifi hischaskusoy b'avodosi yisborach, because a human being, according to his movements and according to how he strengthens himself in serving Hashem, kein goyrim liyached Hashem islamala. The person actually affects different combinations of names of Hashem in heaven. He literally affects yichudim that apply to Hashem through his own dealings with his ups and downs. If he deals successfully with his ups and downs, he's able to affect the different names of Hashem combining to give forth light that helps him, that strengthens him. If not, then these yichudim are not affected. They don't happen. And the person, through this, is able to draw Kedusha from these names. Meaning, when a person is experiencing an aliyah, physically, lamaisa, begashmias, and the person, he's successful, he just gave $10,000 to tzedakah. And the second he gives it, right away he starts thinking, I know that the satan can approach me now and say, take a break. Now you can take a break for a month or for a year. You've done your thing. You've done a very substantial item. Now relax a little. Wait for the next opportunity to come up. That kind of thing. But I'm not going to be silly. I'm not going to lose out. I know that what I'm supposed to do is that the second I do a mitzvah, I'm supposed to use that as a springboard to the next mitzvah. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. I'm supposed to use that the second I did that. Part of the good feeling that I get from doing this mitzvah is supposed to give me my startup on the next mitzvah. Just like the Arizal explains that when we discuss a concept of growing in religion, we know that there are two major paths in terms of frumkeit. There's yiras shamayim, there's fear of Hashem, and there's ahavas Hashem, love for Hashem. The Arizal explains that if a Jew follows the right pattern and he places the yira before the ava, reishis chochma yiras Hashem, we know that the first step in knowledge is fear of Hashem. That's step one. If a person makes that their step one, and they use that as a springboard for avas Hashem, the Arizal says you'll observe that in completing yourself within yira, the word yira is yud reish aleph hey. The aleph hey of yira is already the aleph hey, the beginning of ava, the aleph hey of
Ahavot, Aleph Hei, Beis Hei, that automatically this is leading you into the next Madrega. So it's showing you that Yira alone is not an entity. While you're in the middle of Yira, you're supposed to understand that part of my development within Yira is preparing me for Ahavot. I'm going to already have one foot into Avos Hashem as a result of achieving Shleimus within Yira. So too, in any Madrega, as I'm finishing one Gemara, I'm already figuring, I'm already thinking that I'm going to use all the knowledge and inspiration, everything I got from this Gemara, to push me. The momentum is going to carry me through the first half of the next Gemara. Then for the second half, I'll need to generate new momentum, let's say. But just the good feeling and the momentum that I have in coming to that finish line, I'm not going to let it stop there. I'm not going to rest there, use that as a tachana sofit. On the contrary, I'm going to let it roll me right into the next item. And Rav Nosson Zal explains, when you do that, you should know you're affecting a Yichud Lamala, whereby this name of Hashem, Kuf Samach Aleph, is Nesiache, and automatically some of that light shines down on you, and that's what literally carries you through. By your starting to arouse yourself in this manner, Hashem gives you extra inspiration, and your own inspiration, plus Hashem's, carries you through. So too with the Yerida, with the Nefila. Same thing. When a person is falling, and it's very easy to let yourself go way, way down, and the person catches himself and says, hold on, just because I ate garlic and my breath smells bad, is it logical that I should take another piece of garlic now and make it smell worse? Does that make any sense? I ate garlic so it smells bad. So what? So if I'll stop eating garlic at this point, maybe in a half hour, an hour, the bad breath will disappear, and I'll be welcome back into society. If I stop doing Averis, if I stop at this point, I did 1 million, I did 10 million. If I stop right now, maybe it'll dry up, things will calm down, the storm will terminate, and I'll be able to slowly, slowly start regrouping, retreating, start picking myself up. Whereas if I keep going down, what's that going to accomplish? And a person thinks this thought, the moment he starts thinking on that track, he affects this yichud of the Shem Sog Lamala, and that name of Hashem shines a beam of light to him, and that's what gives him the rope, the strength that he needs to be able to pull himself up and out from this yirida. V'hovein heitev, and understand this very, very well. V'hinei mevur le'el was explained earlier, that through the fact that a person is silent verbally and silent in his heart, not that he closes his mouth, but in his heart he's steaming and cooking and he can't wait to take this person apart, but he shuts down both furnaces, the furnace in his mouth and the furnace in his heart. When a person insults him, embarrasses him, that helps a person be zeicha to true tshuva. Shehi bechinas keser kanal. That corresponds to the crown of Hashem. Ki siog lachochmo shtiko kanal. Because the Gemara says that offense around wisdom is silence. Siog lachochmo shtiko. And we know that chochmo corresponds to the brain. Offense around the brain is a crown. A fence that's placed around the head is a crown. Siog lachochma, the keser, is shtika, silence, knowing when to be quiet. Rabbi Nezal explains now, Kitzrichem li zoher ma'oid lodon es kol odom lekavschus. A person has to be very, very careful to judge everybody favorably, lekavschus. Vafilu hachil kemolov umevazenoisoi. Even those people who battle against you, and even those people who insult you, they embarrass you, tzorech lodunam lekavschus. The person has to judge them lekavschus. The person didn't really mean it. This person thinks he's doing the right thing. He wouldn't have insulted me if he didn't feel that I deserved the insult. Elamai, I know that it's not true. I know that what he's accusing me of isn't true. Or I know this nasty thing that he's saying about me is not true. Doesn't matter. I can't hate him, and I can't want to kill him, because he's not doing this out of rishis. He believes what he's doing is right. Or he wasn't taught any better. This person was raised in a society, he doesn't know better. So again, I don't want to hold him responsible. It's not his fault. Who knows what kind of circumstances. Or sometimes a person out of their own pain and suffering says something, again, that they don't really mean. Where if this person were feeling good about himself, He wouldn't go around insulting other people. Why is he insulting other people? It's simply a reflection of what he feels about himself. Because the person is insecure about himself, and he knows that he himself is lacking in a lot of areas, automatically he lets it out on other people. The Gemara says, "Kol ha-paisel b'mumay paisel." A person who passels other people, who says bad things about another person, he's really talking about his own bad things. He's actually seeing a reflection of himself in the other person, and that's what he's spitting at. That's what he's fighting at. Rabbeinu Zal once told a moshel, we told this about a farmer, a farmer who lived way out in the sticks, in the woods. And this farmer, one time, happened to come upon a certain thing that he had... This farmer, one time, happened to come upon a certain thing that he never saw before. What was it? A mirror. Now, this farmer who had never seen a mirror before, you can imagine, without ever seeing a mirror, he never knew how to groom himself, he never knew how disgusting and how ugly he looked. And the first time he looked into this mirror, he saw an ugly, ugly thing there, and he saw this ugly thing staring at him with a mean look. So right away he grumbled something at this mirror, saying, "What are you looking at?" You know, something like that. And right away, immediately, as he was saying the words, this guy in the mirror said it right back to him, "What are you looking at?" Right away, he took a stick. He figured, this guy thinks he's smart. He took a stick, picked up a stick to this guy facing him in the mirror, saying, "I'll fix you." He sees, as he's picking up a stick, the other guy's picking up a stick. He says, "Oh yeah," he takes his stick and smashes the mirror. And the guy's gone. "I fixed him. He's finished. Did away with him." Picture what kind of a nut, what kind of a lunatic this is, simply because he never saw what a mirror is all about. Rabbeinu Zal said this is the case of these people who are mevaze others, they insult others, they see ugliness in others. What are they actually seeing? They're seeing their own ugliness. Person says, this guy's a bad guy. What, usually, in many cases, in most cases, he's talking about himself. What he sees bad in the other person is actually in himself. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Kulay Toiv, the Torah says that when Basya, the daughter of Paroi, opened up the basket that he was in, Vatera Oisai Ki Toivu, she saw that he was good. As a result of his being so good, whenever he looked at a Yid, all that he could see was good. Even when the Yidden had worshipped the Egel Azov, at a time like that, when it would be logically inconceivable for somebody to be able to have something good to say about them, for somebody to be able to get up and defend them. In order to defend somebody, you have to see something good in that person. How was he able to see good in them even at that time? Because he was Kulay Toiv. Because he was so good, automatically all he could see in another person was good. So Rabbeinu Zal says that a person has to judge people akav zchus, even those who insult them. And Rabbeinu Zal says, through this is formed a keser, a crown. Kemuva b'medrash, as is brought in a medrash, the medrash says, Moshali echot shemotzes chaveroi shu oise keser. The medrash says that we could compare this to a person who sees his friend making a crown. Omar loy, so he says to his friend, "Bishvil mi? Who are you making this crown for?" Omar loy, "Bishvil ha-melech." He says to him, "For the king." Omar loy, so the friend says to him, "Kivon shulet tzorech ha-melech, since you're making this crown for the king, kol even toiv shetimtzo tikboenu boy. Any beautiful stone that you find, put it into this crown. Make it really beautiful." Kach, so too, the Medrash says, and Rabbeinu Zal explains, kol echot miYisrael hu bechinas keser l'Hashem yisporach. Each and every single Jew represents a crown for Hashem. Ein melech b'loyam, the Gemara says. You can't have a king without a nation. So if we are the nation that accepts Hashem's authority, Hashem's leadership, Hashem's kingdom, then automatically we represent the crown of Hashem. We are the ones who crown Hashem as king, right? We're the ones who say, Malchuscho, Malchuscho Leilomim. We're the ones who say, O Malchusai Bakoil Mashallah, Boruch Shem Kvoit Malchusai Leilom Voed. So each and every single Jew, in a sense, is a crown for Hashem. And in these crowns, we have to insert into them every type of precious stone, every type of beautiful stone that could be found. A Jew has to search and find any type, any iota of good that he can say about another Jew, or that he could find within another Jew to latch onto. V'lodones hakoy lekavzchus, and to judge everybody positively, in a positive way, in a favorable way. Kihem bechinas keser l'Hashem yisborachanal, because these people are a crown of Hashem. Ukamayshim Razal, and as the Gemara says in Perkei Avos, Havidones kolodom lekavzchus, judge every single person favorably. Nimtzo shalidei shedoden es hakoy lekavzchus, through the fact that a person judges everybody lekavzchus, shalidei ze shoyskemoy kishemevazoy soy, which allows a person to be silent when the other person is embarrassing him or insulting him. He doesn't feel a desire to insult this person back, because if I wanted to, I couldn't say anything bad about this person. He's a Jew. He's a crown to Hashem. I can't say anything bad about him. Because the person is able to find some type of zechus not to consider the other guy so bad for having insulted him. Because according to that person's logic, it appears to him that he's doing the right thing in insulting me. So why should I hold it against him? It's not that he's insulting me. He thinks I'm a good person. Is he insulting me just to get my goat? He's insulting me because he really believes that I did something that's worthy of being insulted to such a degree. This literally creates a crown for Hashem. Hainu kanal, as we explained earlier, shayidei hadimim avash siko nasis bechinas keser kanal. We had explained earlier in the chapter, in a different view, in a different format, how through being silent for Hashem, this doim la Hashem is what creates a crown for Hashem. Vahovein, and understand this very well. Now we know that Rabbeinu Zal practiced this himself, that Rabbeinu Zal once made a comment about those people that are chaylik against them, those people that say bad things about him and everything. Rabbeinu Zal said that I don't hold it against them. Why? Because these people, they conjure up a picture in their mind of a person who's a Rosha, a Ganef, and a this, that, and everything. And that's who they're insulting. They're not insulting me, because I know I'm not that person. The fact that they call me this name and that name and insult me this way, that way, obviously they're not really speaking about me. They think that that's me, but it's not really me. And the one whom they're saying all of these bad things about, a person who's a Ganef and a Gazlan and a Russian and this, that, such a person, you have to tell him Ganef, Gazlan, you know, you have to bring him to, you have to get him to know where he's at and get him to fix what he has to fix, period. So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal said, on this basis, I don't hold it against them in most normal cases, period. And Rabbeinu Zal says, this is advice for every single Yid to follow. In this shir and in the previous shir, if you put these two tapes together, or if you put these two shirim together, you'll see that we covered thoroughly the Soid Kavona Selul as is presented in the Kisvei Arizal, and as Rabbeinu Zal gave his own format, his own presentation of this, discussing the whole topic of tshuva and the two paths within tshuva. Halavai, we should be zeich in the zechus of learning about this and fulfilling this advice to tikkun abris b'shleimus, and those that need to find zivugim should find their rightful zivugim, and those that need to be zeich to shalom bayis, that their wives should be an ezer to them, that their wives should become an ezer to them, and in that zechus, in the zechus of shalom bayis and shalom in klal yisrael b'chlal, we should be zeichet to get to see the coming of Moshiach, the Benin Beis Mitzvah, Shmerav Yameinu, Amen, Amen.